are back. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. Thank you. So I hope you enjoyed that last half hour. I did. Sometimes I like to mix it up a little bit and get a little philosophical, a little food for thought there, things to digest that you don't normally think about. And now we're going to talk about nutrition because people can't ever get enough of it, I think. At least people are always asking me questions. So I'm going to bring on my next guest, Dr. Michael Wald, a.k.a. the Blood Detective. He is the Director of Nutrition at Integrated Medicine of Mount Kisco, PC. Dr. Wald has appeared numerous times on Fox 5 News, Channel 11 PIX, Channel 12 Westchester News, and ABC World News Tonight with Diane Sawyer. He is a double board certified in nutrition, is a certified dietitian nutritionist, a certified nutritional specialist, and a certified clinical nutritionist. He holds a postgraduate degree in chiropractic from the Los Angeles College of Chiropractic, a master's degree from the University of Bridgeport, and he earned an MD degree from the University of Health Sciences School of Medicine, Antigua, and was past director of education for the International and American Association of Clinical Nutritionists, the largest nutrition organization in the United States. He's published over a dozen books, writes regular health articles, lectures across the U.S. and internationally, and has developed the Blood Detective software program that allows him to interpret massive amounts of blood lab results, finding problems and creating healing solutions for his patients. He has also developed a nutritional product line that is being used nationally by healthcare providers and the public. His newest books, due for publication in 2013, are entitled The Blood Detective's Longevity Secrets, Frankenfoods, Genetically Modified Foods, Your Questions Answered, and A Glutenaholic, How to Live Well Without Gluten. Welcome to It's All About Food, Dr. Wald.
Hi, it seems like it's all about my bio. I apologize about that.
What do you mean?
It's pretty long.
Oh, no, it's good. I like people to know who I'm talking to and, you know, just give a quick taste before we jump into the details.
That's great.
I like to know more about who I'm talking to. So I think it was all, it's all good, as I always say. It's all good.
Okay,
so the thing is, for a very long time, most medical doctors have known very little about nutrition. And that has led us down, I can even say, a deadly path, almost, in some instances. It's so important for those of us who are interested in health and for those who are interested in healing to include nutrition as one of those tools. And it looks like you've done your job and learned a lot about nutrition.
I've done my best over time, there's no doubt about it. I think the point to make here is that everyone needs to be concerned about nutrition, and the latest information on genetically modified foods changes the whole landscape of food and nutrition, you know, upside down.
Well, that's interesting, and I want to hear a lot more about it, because a lot of times when we talk about genetically modified food, we don't talk about the health aspect. We talk about what it may or may not be doing to the environment, but there's so little information. The companies that promote genetically modified foods haven't really done the testing on humans, especially, so we don't really know.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that point that you bring up, that there really has not been any or not much human testing, particularly any long-term studies, you say as a matter of fact, but that's a point that seems to be completely ignored by, I think, the companies that produce genetically modified seeds, such as Monsanto, and also the FDA and other geneticists and scientists that seem to be just perfectly fine with using the United States population and the world at large as the testing ground before careful, specific scientific studies have been done. So you're absolutely right. I don't think the study's been there, which I suppose that makes me of the position that I do not believe personally that a person should be consuming genetically modified foods, at least not until a proper study's been done.
Now,
if you'd like, yes, go ahead.
I agree with you, but I've heard many of the arguments, and one of the arguments is there's this gray area where foods have been hybridized or changed at the genetic level, not genetically modified in the engineered term that we use today, but have been modified genetically over time through nature, through a variety of different techniques over hundreds of years. And we may or may not be suffering from some of that. Those foods were never tested, and some of them we've adapted to, some of them maybe we haven't, and we might be seeing some repercussions from that. But a lot of the scientists say that we've been eating foods that have been morphed in one way or another for many, many years. Why would genetically modified foods be considered any different?
Yeah, that's great, the way that you put that question. And that was a question that I was asked on Fox News recently as well. And I think this is the answer in a nutshell, is that the production of genetically modified foods, the whole science behind producing those foods, is not anything whatsoever like natural selection, which is basically what you meant, where we have nature through a period of time, and we have various foods reacting to the environment. Some of them live, some of them don't, some of them have their genetic materials altered to adapt to the environment, and that's what's called natural selection, which occurs over the course of hundreds of thousands or millions of years since the beginning of time, where plants and foods were available on this planet. So the big controversy, at least as it's put out there, is that then how could genetically modified foods in a laboratory be any different? Well, a couple of reasons, I think. Number one, in nature, we don't have salmon, for example, having sex with tomatoes, so we just don't have that kind of that wouldn't happen in natural selection. So we're producing DNA strains and foods that are unlike anything we've adapted to or have had the opportunity to slowly adapt to or over the course of evolution. But even that doesn't necessarily make it bad, I'll admit. But there's another point. The method, one of the methods used to genetically modified foods, to produce GMO foods, as they're called, is using a gene gun, which is known as the ballistic method, where basically genes are blasted into DNA. So, for example, if scientists want, and I'm making this up completely, but if scientists want, let's say, tomatoes to have more resistance to frost, they might blast those tomatoes with salmon genes, because cold water fish do well in cold, and they blast these desired genes into the food, in this case the tomato, and they hope that those genetic characteristics that they want actually show up, and they change the sequence of the genes. Now, here's something you don't hear too much about potential dangers, which simply have not been proven or disproven in either way, but we know they could theoretically happen, is when you blast these genes into a DNA sequence, that's our genetics, you change the entire sequence of the genetic code. So let's say you're adding two genes, which is the common number of genes they might add, let's say from the salmon to the tomato. If you have a sequence of blocks, if you can visualize that in your mind in a row, but you add two more blocks, everything else is altered in sequence because of those simple, small insertions. And that can change how the DNA of that food, let's say in this case the tomato, expresses. So genes in humans or in plants, they express certain traits. And if you overexpress certain DNA and genes, that is what causes many kinds of cancer. And if you underexpress certain genes, that can create other health problems. And these sorts of over and underexpression of genes, which can result from these haphazard methods of genetic modification, are known to sometimes produce these completely unpredictable side effects. So that's one concern. I don't know if you wanted to comment on that before I continue.
Oh, please, please continue.
Yeah, and in addition to that, we have, to use a real-life example, we have corn. Most of the corn, not all, but most of the corn in the United States is what's called BT corn, which basically means it's a pesticide factory. Corn literally produces pesticide. So any corn that anyone eats here that is not GMO-free or organic with quotations around it is consuming corn that has been genetically modified to be a drug factory. Now, the problem with that is pesticides are potentially toxic, and the proper study has simply not been done to suggest that the amount of consumption that the average human being consumes in terms of corn, whether or not that's safe in the long term. There's been a few animal studies and a couple of human studies that suggest concern. They're not definitive by any means, but they certainly open up the question of more study to be done. But unfortunately, those days are over as far as GM corn is concerned, genetically modified corn. The corn is out there, and once you put these foods out there, particularly corn, which is involved in pollination and cross-pollination, you can't take that out of the environment. That's finished.
Yeah, it's a very sad situation. Now, the thing is, you probably know, when I read your bio, you've got this program to interpret massive amounts of blood lab results. And the part of the problem is people have a myriad of health problems these days, and it can be really difficult to target what is the cause, and many times it's not even one thing that's the cause. There's lots of things that are problematic. So I imagine it'd be really hard to test whether genetically modified foods are problematic or not.
Again, that's a very accurate statement. And let's assume for a minute that it certainly is problematic. No one is arguing with that. Not impossible, but problematic. And even if it was problematic, which I believe it is, that certainly, of course, doesn't mean we don't want to make attempts at for public safety reasons to do proper study, particularly when there have been some studies in humans that show potential issues. Now, when we look at genetically modified foods, we've been consuming them in one form or another for about 15 years, and there was geneticist who criticized what's known as the French study on genetically modified foods, which showed all these problems in these animals.
I remember. I was so excited when that came out.
and as you know, there was, again, one individual who said, well, listen, if we've been consuming these foods for 10 or 15 years, why aren't we dropping like flies? Mm. And when I was asked this question on Fox recently, I said, well, we are. Yeah. The incidence of chronic degenerative diseases are on the rise. The so-called infectious diseases and food poisoning incidents have increased. Maybe it's not food poisoning. Maybe it's GMO foods. Mm. We just do not know. But because of an increased incidence of a variety of different cancers, diabetes, et cetera, it cannot be ruled out that the cause of that is not some ingredient in our diet that we're all eating all the time and have been for about a decade or more, which fits exactly with the introduction of GMO foods.
Okay, so here's the real sad part, okay? The main reason we have GMO foods is because it's a product that can be sold and can be patented and can be profited from. And if these companies that were producing genetically modified food really were altruistic and really meant what they say to the public, how they want to feed the hungry and how they want to create enough food for the growing population all around the world, they would be investing in very different techniques in distribution and in farming techniques and in getting the water to the crops and fertilizing the soil. But instead, genetically modified foods encourage us to use the worst possible agricultural techniques, monocropping and using pesticides and herbicides. And, you know, if anybody really looked into what this was all about, it's all about profit, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I think your point is well taken. And there's another simpler issue, I think, too, and that is, and you said it, food distribution. There are many of the sites like Stop Hunger Now, for example, one of the bigger organizations committed to resolving the hunger crisis on the planet. Even they say on their own website that it is not a shortage of food that is the cause of world hunger. It's the problems with distribution of the food. They estimate that the average individual on the planet, there's 4.5 pounds of food already for them. So the pro-GMO people are taking, I think, an unethical sort of stance by claiming that those that are against genetically modified foods somehow don't want to help solve world hunger because genetically modified foods, they claim, this is a whole other conversation, will increase the yield and help world hunger when it's not an issue with a lack of food but distribution of food. So I think when I hear arguments like that, and I want to be open-minded and not biased to this this whole situation, but when I hear untruths like that, it certainly brings up some doubt in my mind. You know, a couple of months ago when I was researching for my book on Frankenfoods, genetically modified foods, I watched quite a lot of videos, and I happened to come across a Dr. Oz video show where he was interviewing a woman from Monsanto, or a geneticist, I believe, from Monsanto, and he asked her, well, what about the concerns of safety and cancer in humans and the need for more study? And I knew in a moment after she gave her answer that there was really an ethical problem here that I suspected before, but it just really hit me home when she said, we do not need any more studies. Human beings have been eating this food, and the process of the genetic modification of food is identical and equivalent, and she may not have said identical, but she said equivalent to natural selection of foods, which any respectable geneticist knows is completely untrue.
Yes.
So when you hear that, plus, this is, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but this was something I'd never seen before. On that same show, or it may have been a different show, there were two individuals that are, one of them is the author of Seeds of Deception, one of the better books out there on genetically modified food.
Jeffrey Smith.
Yeah, exactly. They had that gentleman and someone else on the stage, and they said, you know, we're going to do something on the show we've never done before. We're going to interview these two gentlemen, and then we're going to have them leave the stage, and then we're going to have the representative from Monsanto come on the stage. It amazes me, and as you know, having done media, that what happened is Oz wanted some ratings, and he called these people up, and then the powers that be at Monsanto said, listen, we're not going first. We want to go second.
Mm-hmm.
And they insisted on separating them like children in a playground that we're fighting, which is really sad to me when we can't get to the issues and we have to play those kinds of games. The individuals that were against the GMO were very well spoken and I think 100% accurate in the issues that they brought up. And then some of the concerns that I had, I just let you know of some of the statements made by the Monsanto person were just shocking to me. That was the turning point in my thinking that there's a lot more to this issue than meets the eye.
Now, what we need are more doctors like yourself who are familiar with nutrition and are speaking out about gluten. Sorry, I'm jumping the subject about GMOs and gluten
right.
is a whole other conversation.
Yes, exactly.
And unfortunately, many doctors just don't know enough. Have you, when you treat patients, have you ever thought that genetically modified foods were affecting any of them, and even though it's kind of hard to know for sure?
Sure. Well, you know, it's my job to maintain what I call and I certainly didn't make this term up, but a holistic mindedness. It is true that medicine and medical physicians can be very, very narrow-minded. And that's, you know, a generalization. It's not true in every case, of course. But the same is also true for holistically minded people, too. I wanted to be very sure that I wasn't simply jumping on the bandwagon and saying that GMOs were bad without good reason. Now, to answer your question, I've been aware of GMO, you know, technologies for a while, ever since back in, I believe it was the 80s, the first GMO supplement, tryptophan, caused several dozen deaths. I believe about 80 deaths of people due to bacterial contamination, it was purported, but more recent evidence that's available through the Freedom of Information Act suggests that those foods, first of all, they definitely were genetically modified, and that looks like that was the issue, and toxic byproducts produced by the genetically modified process caused a condition known as Yersinia pilaria myalgia syndrome. Now, you said something earlier which relates to this. You said, well, isn't it problemsome to figure out if genetically modified foods are the cause? How can you do that? We're all eating them, et cetera. It's no different than gluten, by the way, but here's one thing. This is why it is difficult. With tryptophan, people develop symptoms very suddenly. They were acute symptoms, and it was easy to link it to tryptophan. And they linked it to all tryptophan on the market, even tryptophan under many different brands, which was confusing at first until they realized only one Japanese manufacturer made all the tryptophan, and they were genetically modifying it. And when they changed the processes, when this problem happened. Now, that was an acute reaction. Assuming for a moment that genetically modified foods are causing problems in human beings over the course of years and decades, which, by the way, is how most problemsome foods cause disease. The genesis of disease is over months to years to decades, so
right.
That's not unusual, which is why we use animals, unfortunately, who have shorter lifespans to see things before the scientists themselves are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Point is, because the consumption of GMO over the past 10 or 15 years doesn't have acute toxins, it may have a slow buildup of health problems, makes this a difficult issue, but not an impossible one. There are studies done all the time about problemsome nutrients and all kinds of influences on human health, and that's why we use human studies. We're left with extrapolating most of our information from animal studies, and that was what was done in the French study, and the study had issues, I admit that, just like most scientific studies have issues, and I just find it convenient that when the powers that be want to disavow a study's credibility, they nitpick at problems. Well, if you did that for most studies... This is quoting the American Medical Association themselves, that 80% of procedures and practices in medicine, they don't even have proper studies. And this is what forms medical health care.
Yeah, it's pretty scary, isn't it?
Yes, it's quite scary.
Okay, so what are some of the solutions that you recommend for your patients?
Well, the first thing I think is that people have to be aware of what GMO foods might be if they choose to avoid them. So I'll name some of the foods now if you'd like. And also on my website, I have longer lists and dozens of pages of information on this, a bit more detail. But things like honey and soybeans, virtually all soy is genetically modified. Sugar cane, corn, as I mentioned, genetically modified to produce a pesticide. Canola oil. Potatoes, flax, papaya, squash, tobacco, even if you think of meat, because cows are fed genetically modified foods.
Well, most of the soy grown in this country is fed to animals.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
But there is organic soy, and we know that that's not genetically modified.
Right. Let's speak about that for a minute. I produce a number of products, as you mentioned. One of them is a health bar that I wanted to have it say genetically, GMO free. So of course I had to look into all these labeling laws, and I found a few things out. First of all, the labeling of products in terms of GMO free or not is a voluntary. By the manufacturer. If I call up the manufacturer of my health bar and I say, I want you to put GMO free on my bar, they're going to do it. And guess what? It may not be GMO free. So this is a huge problem. Now, you say organic. Now, by definition, it's true that if something says organic, it's not supposed to contain something artificially produced like GMO foods. But because of cross-contamination, et cetera, which is problemsome and has been it comes up all the time as an issue, that really a person could never really know. And then you have certain farms that may have a combination of GMO-free and not GMO-free, and they actually have some technology on the farms where they can do testing to see the content of the DNA protein in genetically modified foods. And I'm not so sure I trust the average farmer to be able to interpret that, do it correctly, et cetera, et cetera. My point is there's a lot really based on chance. On my website, I do distinguish out at least what's purported to be GMO-free. So, for example, if something says 100% organic, it's not supposed to contain GMO. But even 100% organic foods, forget GMO for a minute, doesn't mean that they're fully organic, and they never did. that when something is said to be 100% organic, there is a legal limit of a certain amount of chemical pesticide, herbicide, or fungicide that might be in those foods. Maybe it's from the farm next door when they spray, and that's in the air, et cetera, et cetera. We've really created a very, very promising situation. But what can people do? Of course, get educated. Number two, avoid foods that certainly we know are genetically modified, and do our best to choose foods that are not if we feel so strongly about it. The other thing, too, is that, you know, improving one's overall health and well-being and choosing foods that are not genetically modified, I do believe is the smart thing to do. You know, I have three kids, and, you know, we do not eat genetically modified foods that, where we can help it.
I taught
my kids that, you know, not to be overly crazy if you go to a friend's house or a party and they have corn or there's some tomatoes or there's something, because I don't want to create too much craziness, but it's balanced with a certain amount of education.
Dr. Wald, we just have a minute left, so I just wanted to ask you, what is your website that you've been referring to?
Sure. The website is www.intmedny.com or blooddetective.com. Both sites will have articles, and you can look up on the blog section for GMO.
Okay. Thank you very much, and thank you for all of your work and what you're doing. We need more people out there fighting this good fight like you. And I just wanted to say that there's in Washington State, they're going to be fighting to get GMO products labeled, and we need to support that in any way we can, because just like in all the other states that have tried to get products labeled, Monsanto and other companies have come in and put a lot of money in to win those fights. So
something
we need to support. Thank you so much for joining me, and it's all about food.
You got it.
Have a great day. I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to this wonderful program about my favorite subject, food. Join me at responsibleeatingandliving.com. Send me emails at info@realmeals.org. And say cool. Have a delicious week.